So, he said, have you been practicing?
Yes, Harry lied, looking carefully at one of the legs of Snape's desk.
Well, we'll soon find out, won't we?
Said Snape smoothly.
Wand out, Potter.
Harry moved into his usual position, facing Snape with the desk between them. His heart was pumping fast with anger at Cho and anxiety about how much Snape was about to extract from his mind.
On the count of three, then, said Snape lazily. One, two.
Snape's office door banged open and Draco Malfoy sped in.
Professor Snape, sir, oh, sorry.
Malfoy was looking at Snape and Harry in some surprise.
It's all right, Draco, said Snape, lowering his wand. Potter is here for a little remedial potions.
Harry had not seen Malfoy look so gleeful since Umbridge had turned up to inspect Hagrid.
I didn't know,
he said, leering at Harry, who knew his face was burning. He would have given a great deal to be able to shout the truth at Malfoy, or even better, to hit him with a good curse.
Well, Draco, what is it?
Asked Snape.
It's Professor Umbridge, sir. She needs your help, said Malfoy. They've found Montague, sir. He's turned up, jammed inside a toilet on the fourth floor.
How did he get in there?
Demanded Snape.
I don't know, sir. He's a bit confused.
Very well, very well. Potter, said Snape, we shall resume this lesson tomorrow evening instead.
He turned and swept from his office. Malfoy mouthed,
remedial potions,
at Harry, behind Snape's back, before following him. Seething, Harry replaced his wand inside his robes and made to leave the room. At least he had 24 more hours in which to practice. He knew he ought to feel grateful for the narrow escape, though it was hard that it came at the expense of Malfoy telling the whole school that he needed remedial potions. He was at the office door when he saw it, a patch of shivering light dancing on the doorframe. He stopped, looking at it, reminded of something. Then he remembered. It was a little like the lights he had seen in his dream last night, the lights in the second room he had walked through on his journey through the Department of Mysteries. He turned around. The light was coming from the pensive sitting on Snape's desk. The silver-white contents were ebbing and swirling within. Snape's thoughts, things he did not want Harry to see, if he broke through Snape's defences accidentally. Harry gazed at the pensive, curiosity welling inside him. What was it that Snape was so keen to hide from Harry? The silvery lights shivered on the wall. Harry took two steps toward the desk, thinking hard. Could it possibly be information about the Department of Mysteries that Snape was determined to keep from him? Harry looked over his shoulder, his heart now pumping harder and faster than ever. How long would it take Snape to release Montague from the toilet? Would he come straight back to his office afterward, or accompany Montague to the hospital wing? Surely the latter. Montague was captain of the Slytherin Quidditch team. Snape would want to make sure he was all right. Harry walked the remaining few feet to the pensive and stood over it, gazing into its depths. He hesitated, listening, then pulled out his wand again. The office and the corridor beyond were completely silent. He gave the contents of the pensive a small prod with the end of his wand. The silvery stuff within began to swirl very fast. Harry leaned forward over it and saw that it had become transparent. He was, once again, looking down into a room as though through a circular window in the ceiling. In fact, unless he was much mistaken, he was looking down upon the great hall. His breath was actually fogging the surface of Snape's thoughts. His brain seemed to be in limbo. It would be insane to do the thing that he was so strongly tempted to do. He was trembling. Snape could be back at any moment. But Harry thought of Cho's anger, of Malfoy's jeering face, and a reckless daring seized him. He took a great gulp of breath and plunged his face into the surface of Snape's thoughts. At once, the floor of the office lurched, tipping Harry head first into the pensive. He was falling through cold blackness, spinning furiously as he went, and then he was standing in the middle of the great hall, but the four house tables were gone. Instead, there were more than 100 smaller tables, all facing the same way, at each of which sat a student, head bent low, scribbling on a roll of parchment. The only sound was the scratching of quills and the occasional rustle as somebody adjusted their parchment. It was clearly exam time.